Hey, everybody. We dive into the recent news and updates and so much more. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, it's charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, it's tpusa.com. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
With the Turning Point USA movement, I've had the honor of traveling across America to visit college campuses and engage in rigorous debate with the next generation. When you talk to as many students as I do, there are several familiar themes. I see disillusionment with the media, a lack of hope in their job prospects. I hear them claim that they're victims and deserve better. Whether college students realize it or not, they're forming ideologies that will affect the way they think and treat others for a lifetime. I'd like to recommend a great book to any young person in this time of life. It's called Reflections on the Existence of God by best-selling author Richard Simmons III. This guy never shies away from the hard questions of life. Reflections on the Existence of God is a collection of short essays that tackles the biggest questions of all. Does God exist? This book is well-researched and easy to read. One of the most important things a young person can do is to solidify their worldview. Our worldview informs our personal, social, and political lives. It helps us understand our purpose. So I'm challenging college students to ask themselves life's toughest questions. Dive in and get this book today, Reflections on the Existence of God. Go to reflectionscharlie.com. That's reflectionscharlie.com. Then drop me a line with your thoughts.
Hey, everybody. This is Isabel Brown, Turning Point USA contributor here on The Charlie Kirk Show. I want to continue unpacking a little bit of what we talked about in relation to big tech and the lack of ability for startup companies to get into the space and provide for a platform that's truly built on free speech. Just recently, we've seen the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, issue a statement on banning Trump, saying that he's definitely not backtracking on the decision, but he certainly doesn't celebrate it as well. On his platform, Dorsey tweeted out basically a thread of tweets, starting with a statement that says, "I do not celebrate or feel pride in our having to ban @RealDonaldTrump from Twitter or how we got here." And he goes on to explain the circumstances that led Twitter to make this decision, which ultimately ended up seeing President Trump's accounts be banned from other platforms as well. He stated, "We have faced an extraordinary and untenable circumstance, forcing us to all focus on our actions on public safety." He says, "Offline harm as a result of online speech is demonstrably real and what drives our policy and enforcement above all." Interesting. Offline harm as a result of online speech. I find it incredibly fascinating that platforms have interestingly focused on President Trump's accounts above all, let alone any other content that threatens the potential for offline harm off of their platforms. Quickly, President Trump's accounts were almost erased overnight, as was his digital footprint almost instantly. But we've seen a lack of ability from almost all of these platforms over time to remove any other violent content. When we see physical threats be propagated against conservatives and the president of the United States directly, I myself and other conservatives I work with being at the receiving end of those things. Literal child pornography can't seem to be taken off social media accounts, yet we can ban the account of the president of the United States. We see violent videos go viral, including some from just this last week as well. But those things haven't been removed, only the account of the president of the United States. And we're seeing the market start to respond a bit to these decisions to deplatform the president and other outspoken conservatives. But I'm unsure how much the market will be able to dictate where we go forward from here. Facebook has now seen a $34 billion decline in their market shares after they decided to deplatform the president of the United States. And we spoke the other day about about Twitter losing $5 billion in market value. That's about 12% of their market shares erased almost overnight after they've decided to go after conservative space online. But the problem is there's really no space in the market for competition. We touched on this a bit in the last hour, but when you look at these startup companies for social media that are trying to promote free speech as much as possible, Parler and Rumble, just to name a few, there seems to be a lack of space for them to compete with these multi-trillion dollar companies, largely because of Section 230, which is a provision of the Telecommunications Act and currently exists under federal law. There's a civil liability shield where you can't sue these big companies for deplatforming people or taking off their domains from their website server provision. You can't really go after them for First Amendment violations because that's specifically stated in Section 230. So the reality is these are not just private companies. This is the very definition of big government.
That's well said. And good job, Isabel. That was awesome. And look, you look at this one tweet from the World Health Organization. It says preliminary investigations conducted by the Chinese authorities 1 year ago today have found no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission of the novel coronavirus. Yet that tweet is still allowed to be up. And you want to talk about offline harm?
Yep.
You want to talk about millions of people dying and billions being displaced? How much damage do you think that tweet did?
And speaking of misinformation and disinformation, which AOC seems to be keenly focused on, that tweet is still available today on Twitter. So I find it hard to believe that they're actually interested in the business of preventing offline harm by censoring online speech.
I completely agree. And so email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here is one here that I do want to answer, that someone is asking. Let's go to this one right here. Does Trump have any options left, or is he done fighting for the United States? Where do we go from here, and how bad do you think it'll get now that we have slowly had our constitutional rights stripped away? He's still fighting for the country. He will till his last hour as president. Unfortunately, absent something that I'm missing and I don't think exists, Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States. That is not something that gives me any form of delight or satisfaction. I fought very hard for this president. I did everything I possibly could to get him reelected. And for a variety of different reasons that we've gone through, I think, extensively here on this program, it looks like Joe Biden will be the next president. So what do? We keep acting. We keep pushing back. I'm going to use every word except the F word, because all of a sudden that's a really bad word to use. We're going to organize. We are going to run people for office. And we're not going to give up. That's what we have to do. We're not going to give up. And we're going to keep moving forward with joy and optimism and positivity, even though at times it seems as if everything around us is absolutely and totally terrible. This is one here. Charlie, can you talk about all of the conspiracy theorists? I'm tired of people saying it's coming. Trump will be your president on January 20th. Isabel, have you gotten some of these messages?
Oh, I absolutely have. I've been called a conspiracy theorist more in the last few days than I ever anticipated I would ever be called in my lifetime. I know you've had the same circumstances with your social media accounts too, Charlie. But, you know, I think we just have to keep doing what we can do. Ultimately, we can keep telling the truth. We can keep showing up. We can keep advocating, for lack of a better word, for the things that we believe in. And ultimately, it comes down to the people that show up as being change makers in
That's
this country
right.
and being the individuals who can continue making a difference.
And the left is going to overshoot. The left is going to not be able to properly organize themselves. And we are going to have lots of opportunities and openings to be able to fight for our country and our Constitution. Look, it's far from over, everybody. I'm talking about the country. You win Florida by 400,000 votes. You win Ohio by 8 points. You win Iowa like the way we did. All of a sudden, you win North Carolina. Look, Georgia and Arizona have its own set of problems, obviously. But then you win House seats in Orange County, California, in Mike Garcia's race. We got a lot of good things happening, everybody, in the conservative movement and in our country. And so if I were to just kind of look at this just analytically, these are the 10 Republicans that voted for impeachment. I'm not even going to make it about them because I actually think they want the attention, so I'm not going to do that. What I'm saying, though, is at the lowest point that President Trump will ever probably be politically, at the lowest point, 10 Republican members of the House defected from him. That's pretty incredible.
And they're already receiving a lot of backlash from their constituents for doing so.
And I'm sure that, you know, the president's going to have many opportunities in the media to talk about what happened and his speech and how he was stunned and shocked by what ensued. I'm sure all of that is going to, you know, happen and unfold. And I think it's very interesting that President Donald Trump and his party is still very much intact. I mean, this was an opportunity for a lot of these Republicans to turn their back on not just him, but the voters that want that, quite honestly, gave them the opportunity to be congresspeople.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be a lot more kind of unfolding and unpacking from there. Here's a good question from Diana. Hi, Charlie and Isabel. Why hasn't someone introduced a bill to classify social media as a public utility? Just as phone companies have been allowed to use each other's lines, social media use each other's lines, social media and app stores should have other social media apps and companies to be available. I'm just curious as to why this hasn't occurred. Well, people like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have introduced those bills. The danger of that is that all of a sudden you're going to create three or four permanent social media companies, no different than the power utilities in a lot of these states, like Florida Power and Light, or the Arizona Utility Board, the Corporation Commission that sets those rates, and you'll never have another competitor again. So, however, I do believe that there is time. It is time. I don't think it's going to happen to start to regulate these companies, that they have to live under a set of rules. When you have hundreds of millions of users, in the Western world and tens of millions of users in just some states, you're no longer just a private company. The idea of what a private company should be and its intent is a bakery, is a mid-sized business, even a large business with a couple thousand people. They shouldn't be told what they should do. But as soon as you're providing a service to the whole country, then it impacts everybody, especially when there is no competitors. Look, let's talk about censorship on social media sites and what you can do about it. The left wants to silence and remove any voices they don't agree with. It's true. Twitter and Facebook were supposed to be open platforms, but I don't need their content moderators acting like the op-ed section of the New York Times. So instead of letting social media sites revoke your right to free speech, how about revoking their right to your data? Now you could just deactivate all your social media accounts, but that would be giving the left exactly what they wanted in the first place. Instead, I use ExpressVPN. Ever wondered how free-to-access sites like Facebook make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling on your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and to sell to advertisers. And ExpressVPN couldn't be easier to set up. You just tap one button on your phone or computer and you're protected. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. It's finally time to say no to censorship and take back your online privacy at expressvpn.com/Charlie. By visiting my special link, you get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Charlie, expressvpn.com/Charlie to protect your data today. The House has voted to impeach the president yesterday, and with it was an impeachment manager unlike any other.
Before we've ever seen, for sure.
Eric Swalwell. So to try and satisfy, this is Mark Stein's take, the diversity requirements, now every foreign dictator gets an impeachment manager. So Xi Jinping had his impeachment manager. Putin will get his impeachment manager. Ayatollah Khamenei gets his impeachment manager. Everyone gets an impeachment manager if you are a foreign adversary dictator to the United States. Eric Swalwell was one of the impeachment managers because I think Nancy Pelosi just wanted to stick it to us. I just think that she wanted to just rub it right in our face and let us complain about it because she says, I'm in power and you're not, and sit down and shut up. Let's go to Cut 73. Jim Jordan says the Democrats' double standards towards Trump's impeachment vote. Play tape.
They can object to Alabama in 2017, but tell us we can't object to Pennsylvania in 2021. And they tell us we tried to overturn the election. Guess who the second objector was in 2017? the individual managing the impeachment for the Democrats. Americans are tired of the double standard. They are so tired of it. Democrats object to more states in 2017 than Republicans did last week, but somehow we're wrong. Democrats can raise bail for rioters and looters this summer, but somehow when Republicans condemn all the violence this summer, the violence last week, somehow we're wrong.
And cut 79 is Congressman Hoyer basically looping in all Trump supporters and comparing it to 9/11, Pearl Harbor, and Fort Sumter. We played this tape yesterday. It's very chilling. Play 79.
MAGA Civil War.
Oh my gosh.
They had the hats on of the army of MAGA, which I refer to as Make America Grieve Again. We grieved at Fort Sumter. We grieved on December 7th, 1941, and we grieved on 9/11. And yes, we grieved on January 6th.
Just so reckless and dangerous to loop everyone into that same category. And so, Isabel, I think it's more important than ever that we start to push back against this.
Absolutely, right? Charlie. And Jim Jordan really said it best. Americans are sick and tired of the double standard. We're done. We're done being called deplorable. Now that term has escalated into domestic terrorist or radicalized terrorist, as we heard from Eric Swalwell on the floor yesterday of the House of Representatives. They don't realize that it's precisely this behavior that led to President Donald Trump's rise in the Republican
right.
Party and election to begin with. And I think this is only going to make Americans more passionate about the things they believe
well,
in.
Well, and just like when they called everyone a racist, when they start doing this, is it cheapens legitimate domestic terrorism. For example, the guy with the pipe bomb, yeah, that's a domestic terrorist. The guy that killed a police officer, that's a domestic terrorist. If you came to Washington, D.C., with plans and schematics to go into the Capitol building? Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, I think that the looping everyone into that category is a strategic political move on behalf of the Democrats. They don't actually want to have to debate ideas. They don't want to actually have to have policy discussions. You look at the three most catastrophic states in the country, California, Illinois, and New York. They're all Democrat strongholds. Instead, they would rather talk about how awful the other side is, and we don't have to talk about policy. Just give us more power, and we're going to keep on screwing stuff up. But at least we're not them. You see how awful those people are? And a question needs to be asked to these Democrats. Are you going to actually begin to admit that not every single Trump supporter was part of what happened last week, despite the denunciations, despite the repudiations? Or are you just going to intentionally lie, mislead, and slander? You may not know this about me, but I love studying the global economy. I love seeking out financial wisdom. When it comes to my own portfolio, I value precious metals. Noble Gold is the firm I trust to buy gold and silver from, which can serve as a hedge of protection in your IRA. First reason, they are a U.S.-based company. Supporting American business is so important. Second reason, Noble Gold has impeccable online reviews. A great online reputation is a must if you're going to trust a team's financial counsel. Third reason, Noble Gold has an experienced staff who works hard to make life easy for you. Any paperwork that might pop up takes less than 5 minutes to complete. Maybe it's an old 401k that needs a home. Maybe you're just like me and curious about your options. If so, grab a free gold guide by visiting noblegoldinvestments.com to learn more. I respect this team, and I know you will as well. Call Noble Gold right now. Tell them you heard about investing on my show. They will find the right plan for your budget. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Isabel, there, the internet wars are raging on.
Raging indeed, Charlie. We are hearing a great story coming out of North Idaho, which I know you visited several times. I spent part of my childhood growing up in that region. It's a beautiful area and very conservative. And we're hearing that a major internet service provider that provides internet to the areas in North Idaho, as well as Eastern Washington and the Spokane region, is now blocking access to Facebook and Twitter for customers
so
that request
it. lawyers are doing this.
They are. And so they're hearing that customers are upset about the issue of censorship, and more than two-thirds of the company's customers have now requested firewalls against Facebook and Twitter in their household because they don't want to be censored anymore.
So now Facebook and Twitter are going to have to fight internet service providers across the country if people say, I don't even want to get near that thing.
This seems to be the new precedent.
The internet wars are on. The impeachment conversation continues. Adam Kinzinger from Illinois has come out and said, quote, it was not a hard decision to impeach. We didn't need to look for evidence. It was brought right to us. Even if that was true, that is not the way that we do anything of concern in our country. Look, the if you wanted to say, I didn't like what he said, we know that impeachment, as designed by our founders, was never designed as a venting mechanism. It's supposed to be thoughtful. It's not supposed to be like a parliamentary vote of no confidence. The House has set a terrible precedent with this. Impeachment is going to be like that text message you sent your friend when you're angry, and then you regret it after you cool down. Like, impeach, and you're going to be like, did we really just do that? After not allowing any cross-examination of witnesses, not allowing any form at all whatsoever of people to be able to submit evidence to the other side? And the answer is yes. And one of the impeachment managers was Eric Swalwell. Let's look at Mark Stein here, who brilliantly talks about how Xi Jinping had his own impeachment manager. Play tape.
There's any number of hack mediocrities who could have taken the place of Swalwell on the, among the House impeachment managers. But she's just deciding to twist the knife. His paramour, Fang Fang, the martyr Hari of the California Democrat Party, has planted an intern in his office. He embodies the complete fraudulence and dysfunction of the American system.
And let's go to the next tape.
We've got some third-rate summer stock 007 pretending to be undercover, quizzing this dirty, corrupt head of the big, powerful agency, James Comey. They both know the reality that the only one who's been compromised by a honey trap isn't Trump, but him. And yet they know their lines and they're going through this acting thing. It's all pointless. It's all completely pointless, fraudulent, dysfunctional. It's a perversion of a self-governing Democrat society.
Now, they impeached the president because they said there were riots that were trying to stop a peaceful transition of power. Let's go to cut 89, when Democrat riots were actually trying to do this right after President Trump was inaugurated. I don't think many of these people were arrested. Play tape.
The anger reaching a boiling point in the nation's capital after President Trump took the oath of office. Police in riot gear facing off against the protesters just six blocks from the inaugural parade.
Burning cars and smashed windows. A small group of protesters dressed in black, their faces covered, armed with hammers and bricks. Before the swearing-in ceremony even began, protesters tried to block checkpoint entrances. During President Trump's speech, several demonstrators were escorted out of the area. Several officers injured during the protest today.
Okay, so let's just be clear. The disruption of a peaceful transition of power, check. The blocking of entrances, check. The burning of cars, the smashing of windows. That violence was wrong then, and the violence is wrong last week. However, that wasn't part at all of the coverage whatsoever. I knew a very little law enforcement follow-up from that. I'm sure some people got arrested. However, it's very clear that the double standard of this is worse than ever. Let's go to cut 90. Representative Green, the silent majority in this country, is fed up.
Look, the Republican Party needs to change things up. The silent majority in this nation is fed up with being the target and not having representatives, not having people in Congress stand up for them. The Democrats, their plan is to tear this country down with socialism. And you can see what happened this yesterday with impeachment. They have no intention of creating unity. They have no intention of healing. They only have full-scale plans to make everyone lay down, sit down, and shut up and just go along with whatever they want to do, which is censorship.
That is right. They want censorship because they know when they have blanket mass censorship, then all discussion, all conversation will disappear. That's what they want. And it's tempting. Look, if you're in power and you want to stay in power, censorship is a very tempting tool. This is why every single totalitarian leader has done it. Because speech, as the founding fathers knew, was not just moral, but it also was very effective in holding powerful people accountable. So when you don't have speech, let alone the platforms to speak, do you actually have the ability to push back against people that are corrupt, that are doing things improperly? And when only the left is allowed to speak, then do you actually even have a country anymore? Let's go to this question here. Hi, Charlie. I'm a homeschool mom of four living in the Central Valley of California. I'm very concerned about the kind of future my children will have in the state. We have a solid church and a great Christian community here. Yet when I think about the direction the state heads in, I start to question why I live here. Do you think it's time to leave? You left the blue state. What do you think, Isabel?
I did leave a blue state. Look, there's something to be said about fighting for the place you call home. If you love it, if that's where your roots are, where your family is from, there's absolutely something to be said for that. But eventually, there lacks that ability when the left gains complete control of the state. I saw that happen before my eyes in my lifetime in Colorado, which was incredibly disappointing. And I think ultimately, conservatives need to find a safe haven for the things that they believe in and a community of people who will have their back.
Mm-hmm. I left Illinois proudly, and now we have our offices in Arizona. I'm a resident of Florida, and I could tell you that there's something to be said to fight for the state that you're currently in. However, California, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
California is, let's just say, not exactly a likely exercise to be able to turn in the short term right here, right now. Let's get to more sound here. Let's go to Matt Gaetz here. Do we have that one, Connor? Cut 94? Let's go to Cut 94 when he gave his speech on impeachment yesterday. Cut 94.
Before the last presidential impeachment, President Trump rightly pointed out the improper activities of the Biden crime family. And subsequently, he's been proven right. And don't think for a moment, Madam Speaker, that we're going to drop that or stop our pursuit.
And let's go to Cut 98, where Matt Gaetz continued.
The left in America has incited far more political violence than the right. For months, our cities burned, police stations burned, our businesses were shattered, and they said nothing. Or they cheerled for it, and they fundraised for it. And they allowed it to happen in the greatest country in the world. Now, some have cited the metaphor that the president lit the flame. Well, they lit actual flames, actual fires, and we
time
put them out.
Expired. There will be order in the House.
I yield back.
They cut him off pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Matt Gaetz is one of the few fighters in the United States House of Representatives. He's a good friend, and he does a wonderful job for our country and for our cause. And Matt Gaetz is right. They lit actual fires. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, do you know what she said? She posted on Instagram back in June. I think we can find this Instagram post where she was giving rioters tips on what they should wear, what they should do with their phone before they went into certain places of combat. This was a sitting member of Congress that was giving rioters tips. Deactivate facial recognition on your phone. Don't make it easily accessible. Make sure you wear gloves. Make sure you wear clothing that is non-identifiable. Why would you have to do that, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, unless if you were getting in trouble? Let's play tape here of AOC.
They proved that southern states are not red states. They are suppressed states, which means the only way that our country is going to heal is through the actual liberation of southern states, the actual liberation of the poor, the actual liberation of working people from economic, social, and racial oppression.
So her viewpoint is that we'll only be able to heal when every state is a Democrat state. That's basically her perspective.
Peace and unity.
Yeah, peace and unity only when everyone is a registered Democrat. And if you're anything but a registered Democrat, you're an awful person. We're going to destroy you. That's their idea of peace and unity. Now, it'll be very interesting to see, and I'm not keeping my hopes up, what Joe Biden will do when he gets sworn in this coming Wednesday. Will he give a speech about we must go after half the country that are domestic terrorists? Will he separate the two? Will he go after the entire Trump Make America Great Again movement? We'll see. He has an opportunity to calm down tensions. But at every single turn, he and the Democrats do the exact opposite. How to protest safely. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez put this on her Instagram. What to wear. What to bring. Don't bring facially recognized devices. Don't bring identifiable necklaces. Don't bring switchblades. Because, yeah, we walk around with those all the time. Don't bring contacts. What to wear. Make sure you wear a mask. Make sure you wear gloves. This is a riot guide 101 that AOC put on her Instagram. How to riot anonymously. And yet we now have to hear from the defund police people that were protected by police officers that they have no interest whatsoever in – they are always hate rioting. Our position is very clear. We said it the day of the broadcast. If you're there, go home. We don't like it. Rioting is awful and terrible. And we didn't even know the extent of a lot of it back then like we do now. This tape here of, I think, Andrew Neil is his name, a very serious journalist from England. I wish our country had someone as serious as him in a high position. He's very tough on both sides. Talking to the head of Twitter advertising, former head of political advertising at Twitter. Play tape.
I think what does concern the people, Peter, though, is the sense of unaccountable power. Whether you agree with what Twitter has done, whether you think it's biased, that it tends to go for those on the right rather than the left, the bigger issue is unaccountable power, particularly when they seem to act in concert. I mean, these are companies far bigger than the oil, the railways, the steel, the robber barons at the end of the 19th century in America. They've got much more money and much more influence. And yet Twitter bans Trump for life, and you've given the reason why, and incitement to violence is something that has – there's not a right to that in free speech. But Trump's people then say, all right, we're going to move to Parler, and we can do stuff there. And then immediately the rest of big tech – closes that down as well. The apps are you cannot get either from Google or from Apple. And Amazon says, we ain't hosting you anymore. That's a cartel. In America, cartels are illegal.
Amen. I love when non-Americans tell us about our laws. No, I actually mean that non-sarcastically, because I feel as if we get so wrapped up in our own political circus at times that we lose kind of a connection to exactly what is happening in our own country. And whether the Department of Justice will investigate cartel-like behavior remains to be seen, probably unlikely with the new administration that is coming in. However, as Andrew Neil pointed out, the behavior of these companies is that one hand washes the other. That is literal cartel-type behavior, that they don't put profits and even their own fiduciary interests first. Instead, they put the incumbent economic protection of the combined interest of their companies first. That is not legal. That's beyond monopolies. Just so we're clear, that is a different threshold than monopolistic behavior. So monopolies are illegal because you dominate in one space. Cartels are illegal, even more so than monopolies, because then you have different types of companies that are leaning on each other to then go after competitors wherever they might arise. And so we've seen this now with Amazon that dominates the server space. 49% of all rented out server space goes through Amazon Web Services. We've seen that through Apple, which provides a majority of the smartphones in this country. We saw that through Google that has 92% of all search results in the country. So all of a sudden you have Google plus Apple plus Amazon. That's a cartel, to say the least. What do you think, Isabel?
Yeah, we've reached a new level of antitrust violations here. And obviously we created antitrust laws in response to monopolistic behavior from corporations in the past. But honestly, that's not even touching what's happening right before our eyes today. And frankly, we may need a different way to come at this particular problem than our existing antitrust laws, simply because there's no legal capacity to hold these companies accountable for what they're doing, which is in blatant violation of the United States Constitution.
Yeah, in Section 230. And the real target of this, I hope you guys realize this, is not President Trump. They hate him. He's an excuse. It's President Trump's voters. It's if you support his agenda, you've always been the target. Hillary called you the target. Mm-hmm. She called you deplorable because they know that they could suppress you, but you're really not going away. Now, there's already calls to deprogram you. There's already calls for camps. That's already been done.
Yeah.
Probably a really, really awful, horrible, illegal, bad, immoral, evil idea, just based on just a surface reading of the 20th century. But absent that sort of dramatic behavior, then we're not going to see any form whatsoever of Trump supporters going away. So instead, they're going to try to mislabel all Trump supporters as domestic terrorists. There's a new article in the Washington Monthly saying it's time for a new domestic terrorism law. The Biden's team is reportedly working on one. That's good because we can meet the domestic terror threat and preserve civil liberties. There's already 52 domestic terrorism laws on the books. We hated what happened last week. And we know exactly how this is going to be used. And so this new article from the head of the Anti-Defamation League, Jonathan Greenblatt, told the Washington Post that this was a watershed moment for the far-right extremist movement and that groups involved are certainly not going anywhere. And it says, we're dealing with terrorists. We need a new counterterrorism strategy that will require a new domestic terrorism law.
Call me skeptical, Charlie, but I have a hard time believing that an additional 53rd domestic terrorism law would be primarily focused on preserving civil liberties, as this article is suggesting. I think more so it's going to be used as a newfound mechanism to continue taking away civil liberties from a certain percentage of the population, whether that only applies to the people who are in the Capitol Rotunda or not. We kind of are anticipating that it's a much bigger population that they're going after. Remains to be seen, but I know that we can expect something like this from the Biden team probably within the first 100 days of his presidency.
That's right. And so you read this article, it is very aggressively written, saying that there needs to be new departments created under the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, that are beyond anything we've seen, that exist solely for the purpose of infiltrating, monitoring, and prosecuting what they call domestic terrorists. They push back against civil libertarian writer Glenn Greenwald, who they say mockingly declared the Capitol insurrection as, quote, the liberals' 9/11, likening it to the jingoistic security panic that filled George W. Bush's conservative presidency. The article continues by saying, but knee-jerk reactions removed from any specific detailed proposals, reflexive denunciations are no more helpful than mindless cheerleading for new laws. We should have clear-eyed understanding of the Constitution, the current law, and the growing terror threat, and proceed accordingly. And it goes on to continue to mention all of this. And so this is we actually called – remember this, Isabel, when I talked about this in real time on the live stream?
I absolutely do.
So they are going to use this as an excuse. And it continues by saying the always suspicious Greenwald asserts that during this so-called liberals 9/11, quote, if you question all the new powers they want, it means you love terrorists, end quote. Well, it doesn't mean that at all. People hold sincere civil libertarian views and detest terrorism, like me. I hate terrorism. The flip side is also true. People can support new domestic terrorism law and still revere our Constitution and the freedom it protects. I'm skeptical of that. If all camps accept both premises while recognizing that domestic terror threat is real and not overhyped propaganda from an Orwellian one-party duopoly, we can have a constructive debate. says demagoguery and hysteria are not necessary. American democracy is not at imminent risk of disintegration, nor is America on the verge of becoming a police state. At the same time, domestic terror threats with the intent of subverting democracy are real, and the great constitutional care is always needed when crafting laws that expand police powers. That part I agree with, but the language he's using here can be very, very dangerous. I'm in Glenn Greenwald's camp here because we've already seen what these people are willing to do with the power that is vested within them. And we have seen, remember, what they did with President Trump and other things whatsoever. What's coming out of Chicago here, Isabel?
Predictably, we are hearing from Mayor Lori Lightfoot, one of our favorite people to talk about, that saying Chicago restaurants and bars now need to be allowed to reopen, in her words, as quickly as possible. I think we predicted that a long way away. We've been saying for several months that this would probably be the playbook of the left, that as soon as Biden would be elected president of the United States and we get closer to Inauguration Day, places like New York City, Chicago, Southern California, all of a sudden are going to rush to reopen the economy, even though the circumstances with COVID-19 really haven't changed all that much. I was watching the news before I came here this morning to do our radio show, Charlie, and they were saying that Governor Cuomo said this week that New York needs to be reopened as quickly as possible. We can't wait until the vaccine is rolled out into higher numbers. But they're actually experiencing a surge in COVID-19 cases in the state of New York right now.
But it's time to reopen.
But it's time to reopen.
I agree, but it's only because of Joe Biden. That's the only reason.
Exactly.
Because they know that Joe Biden is going to be coming into the White House and they want to give him a little bit of an economic boost. And also they don't want to be blamed for these widely unpopular draconian lockdowns. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here's a great question. What's the biggest threat to America's future, China or big tech? Mm. Ryan from Grand Rapids. It's a great question. I would say big tech, because if we do not solve the big tech issue, we will not even be able to fight back against the Chinese issue. Without the ability to communicate, you don't have a country. And without the ability to have real alternatives and real platforms with the ability to process information and get viewpoints out, then you do not have a country. With that being said, China is not a small threat at all whatsoever. China is our biggest enemy. We've been saying that on this program for quite some time. Natalie says this. Hi, Charlie. My name is Natalie. I'm 18 years old from North Carolina. I love your show and your resilience to share a conservative message despite the challenge that come with that task. The road ahead looks challenging and concerning for the next few years. And I was wondering if you could dedicate some time to explain socialism, how it's going to impact us, and how we could take our country back. Thank you for all you do. God bless. So thank you, Natalie. I appreciate that. And by the way, please email us your questions with a subscription to The Charlie Kirk Show. Show us at freedom@charliekirk.com if you guys want to win a signed copy of my book. So Natalie, what's going to happen next is not socialism. I want to be very clear. Socialism might end up happening as a byproduct of this. What's going to happen next is much closer to fascism. What's going to happen next is a small subset group of companies that have trillions of dollars in market cap value are going to get all the special favors, handouts, and treatment that will only be afforded to them. That's what's coming next. What is looming next is not a massive Marxist takeover of every single private company yet. Instead, what is going to happen is Google, Facebook, Twitter, Johnson & Johnson, the biggest companies out there, they're going to get incumbent protection control. And what we are dealing with is not a group of people that want to see, at least from the outset in the Biden administration, a Marxist revolution happen. Instead, they want to see a corporate kleptocratic revolution, which is arguably even more dangerous because that's where corruption comes from. That's where special carve-outs come from. That's where special favors come from. It's arguably even more dangerous. Twitter CEO Jack has come out and said that banning President Trump from social media sets a dangerous precedent. Well, I wonder who set that dangerous precedent.
You can't even take your own advice. It's hard for me to have a lot of respect for you as a leader. Culturally, which clearly he is. I mean, this individual has a substantial amount of influence when it comes to culture
and
in the
resources.
United States. And resources. He's worth $12 billion as his net worth. And yet if he even says this is a dangerous precedent, if Germany says this is a dangerous precedent, if Russia, which they're now saying is says that this is a dangerous precedent, we all should be wildly concerned.
I agree with that completely and totally. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to get to some more sound here. I wanted to go back to Glenn Greenwald because I think that's actually a really good kind of baseline here. Let's go to cut 25 of Glenn Greenwald, where he's warning against how there's going to be a new security state and war on terror focused on Americans. Play cut 25.
Well, one thing I think that we're clearly seeing is the initiation of a new war on terror, which I don't say lightly. I say that because the Biden administration, what will be the Biden administration in about a week, is saying explicitly that they want, first of all, a new law to further criminalize domestic terrorism, even though every act that constitutes domestic terrorism is already criminalized. What they want to do is increase their power to monitor political groups, to infiltrate them, to criminalize activities that currently are not criminalized, nor should they be, whether it be advocacy of speech or other things. They're saying they want a new law, similar to the way that the 9/11 attack and the emotions surrounding it was instantly seized upon, to institute a whole series of new laws that endure to this very day.
And so they are questioning Americans' patriotism, accusing everyone of sedition, accusing everyone of conspiracy against the United States government. And cut 86 is Jake Tapper, who attacks Congressman Brian Mast, who lost both of his legs, by the way, fighting for our country. And then Jake Tapper says, well, I don't know about his commitment to our country, though, here in our own country. Play tape.
Yep. That's relevant. What you're saying right now is relevant because Congressman Brian Mast, mm-hmm. a Republican from Florida, who lost his legs, by the way, fighting for democracy abroad, mm-hmm. although I don't know what his, I don't know about his commitment to it here in the United States.
So if Congressman Brian Mast, who lost both of his legs, is open game for the Democrats, everyone is open game when they start to loop everyone into one category. Please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support. And as always, email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Patrick says this: hey, Charlie, thanks for everything you've done to fight for the Conservative Party and educate young people. I'm 32 and ashamed of how ignorant I was in college. And even after, you're doing amazing work. I love your podcast. Thank you. I saw Congresswoman moving to impeach Biden on January 21st. If that is actually successful, wouldn't that just leave us with Kamala in office? Isn't that worse? Thanks again. It'll probably not be successful, but the articles are indeed being introduced by Marjorie Greene the day after Biden is being sworn in, kind of as a if you can do it, we can do it type thing. I don't like the trivialization of impeachment. However, Joe Biden probably has done some of those things that is probably warranting of that. President Trump breaking this morning has more pardons ready to go, as well as executive orders, plans to declassify Ukrainian intel and appoint special counsels. That's via CNBC. So he still is very much your president. We're going to see where he does from this point forward in the last couple days of the Trump presidency. That's going to be a tough transition to see, but albeit what makes our country different and special than other ones is that peaceful transition of power. And as all the constitutional, measures were exhausted that, of course, we supported, it is now time to plan and, you know, watch that transition occur. Let's go to another question here. From California. Hi, Charlie. I'm struggling as a conservative teacher working in California. It's hard to find other teachers that don't buy into the lies of the media. I really appreciate what you guys do. I was wondering how as a middle school teacher, you think I could affect change in my area? My opinion, great question. Thank you. My opinion is just teach the history of the United States properly, read the Federalist Papers, and teach the Constitution. So many kids are not learning about the United States Constitution. So many kids have no understanding, or students are actually really diving deep into the history of our country. So that would be my advice to you, and just stay strong. We need conservative teachers. We need conservative everything. We need conservative teachers. We need conservative pastors. We need conservative everything. So stay strong. Stay on top of that. I highly encourage it. And email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Okay, let's get to some other news here. It looks like the New York Attorney General has sued someone?
Yes, they sure have. New York's Attorney General, as of a few hours ago, it appears, has sued the New York Police Department, alleging rough treatment of protesters against racial injustice last spring as part of a longstanding pattern of abuse.
Interesting.
Wow.
So they are. New York Attorney General going after the New York Police Department. Again, I never want to hear the Democrats attack police again after the police officers really helped them, helped a lot of those people in the halls of Congress last week. Okay, here's a question. Hi, Charlie. A pattern that I see within my own church is a more liberal approach to the Chinese coronavirus. We have people wanting to control all ministries within our church to make sure everyone is, quote, obeying the mask mandate that our governor gave us. And it's causing division within our own church. We've had people find it very disrespectful to wear a mask while at church, and we have others who will literally go around measuring that you are 6 feet apart. Geez, why are our church leaders not standing up for our trust in God and pushing for our freedom as the Lord created us with free will? I unfortunately see people of great faith falling into the lies of the liberal left. What is your thought on that, Isabel?
I think, unfortunately, Charlie, the church is no longer an institution of conservatism, but even sometimes of Christianity, which is really disappointing to see, especially in modern day America. Sadly, the church has largely started subscribing to the religion of leftism a lot more than the religion of the Bible and the religion of Christianity. So I've seen a lot of this behavior across the country in the last few months in particular. It's not unique, unfortunately, which is really disappointing. But between heralding the BLM riots that we saw over the last 6 months and going around measuring 6 feet apart between churchgoers, sadly, many, many pastors have fallen into the trap of leftism instead of just sticking to what they know and objective truth.
Yeah, it's and I will be speaking at Calvary Chapel San Juan Capistrano this Sunday evening in California, also at Calvary Chapel Godspeak and also in Thousand Oaks. And I'll also be at Jack Hibbs Church next week. A lot to talk about, that is for sure. We also want to get to this news here. What's going on in Wuhan?
So finally, 1 year later, that's a long time. Let's just reminisce on that for a second. The WHO has finally been allowed to send researchers into the Wuhan province to try to unpack what the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic actually were. Just a few weeks ago, by the way, and you didn't hear about this on the news because it wasn't flashy enough of a headline, they were actually denied entry into China by the Chinese Communist Party as an entire entity from the WHO. That's not new behavior. This is exactly how China reacted with investigations after the fact to the SARS pandemic in the early 2000s. But now, just finally, it appears we may start to get some answers, theoretically, on the COVID-19 pandemic there in the Wuhan province in China.
It's incredible. Sean has a question for you, Isabel. You keep referring to 1984. What do you mean?
What do I mean? This is a great question. If you guys have never read George Orwell's book, 1984, which many of you unfortunately have not because they're no longer teaching it in many schools, I believe it is required reading to understand what it means to live in a free society. This book was written well before our lifetime, obviously, if you're a Gen Zer, but it's important to note that this was a prediction from Western Europe of what the future might look like if the government were to gain too much power. So it's sort of a dystopian novel talking about what the grim future may look like if people no longer retain the power and if we gave the government all the power. But frankly, it's really been an instruction manual for the left, as we said earlier in this stream, for just how far the government can go. I would highly recommend any of you read that. George Orwell is a phenomenal author. He has other books that I would recommend as well, Animal Farm being one of them. But if you haven't read 1984, it's time to go pick up a copy.
Yeah, it's a lot of the terms you hear, such as police state, surveillance state, newspeak, ministry of truth, all of that stuff stems from George Orwell's book 1984. This idea of Big Brother came from George Orwell. George Orwell was a socialist, but the more he got involved in socialism, he came up with a great quote which said, "Socialism is much more about hating the rich than helping the poor." And he was very, very worried about surveillance state, police state, and he thought that is where things eventually would lead. And he has been so incredibly ahead of it on that. Do we have a clip from Ronald Reagan here? Is that what I'm seeing? Is that Ronald? Let's play some Ronald Reagan.
You know, someone very profoundly once said many years ago that if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism. And what is fascism? Fascism is private ownership private enterprise, but total government control and regulation. Well, isn't this the liberal philosophy? The conservative, so-called, is the one that says, less government. Get off my back. Get out of my pocket.
He was great. Fascism comes via liberalism. He's exactly right. Email us your thoughts and your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank some of our supporters that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank William from North Carolina. I want to thank David from Illinois. I want to thank Brenda from Georgia. I want to thank Mackenzie from Maryland. I want to thank Joshua from Texas. I want to thank Dustin from Wisconsin. I want to thank Diane from Texas. I want to thank Joan from Alabama, and also Eva from Texas, Jeffrey from Minnesota. Let's see here. Susan from California, Gina from New Jersey, and John from South Carolina. Thank you guys for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Here's a question for Isabel. Is it George Orwell's 1984 or Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged?
Oh, I mean, if I had to pick between the two, Atlas Shrugged is one of the greatest books written of all time. You've got to be a pretty dedicated reader to make it all the way through. It's a very thick book, but I would absolutely recommend you guys read that one too.
It's phenomenal. I think 84 is a little bit more topical, but that's not to say that Ayn Rand's books can't be relevant.
Absolutely.
Looks like there's a picture of a National Guard member reading Atlas Shrugged. Scarily relevant reading material is what everyone is saying. So those books are about to become more and more relevant in the coming years here. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here's one here. Hi, Charlie. Thanks for all you're doing. I've been watching for a couple months. Thank you. The question is, will this, quote, new domestic terrorism, as the leftists are calling the conservatives, will it make these people, the left, look the other way when even worse domestic terrorism happens? Note, I do not agree with the Capitol storming, nor am I saying it wasn't an act of terrorism. The reason why I ask this is because I feel that the left is just going to go to look over everything. But the things they oppose, the conservative values, which I have a feeling includes domestic terrorism. And as a side note, he's looking to go into law, and he says, God bless. Thank you, Caleb. God bless you. Love to send you a book. And thank you for showing you're subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. So look, there's just a different set of rules for the left than there is for conservatives. I wish it wasn't the case here. But when you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez sending out riot instructions publicly, and she gets applauded and she gets Vogue magazine shoots and nothing even happens to her. Yeah, you should pause and say, what exactly is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, this is going to be used against people that, you know, that they find to be disagreeable or that they don't like politically. Has President Trump made an announcement in Afghanistan?
About Afghanistan, yes. We have a new statement from the president saying that United States military troops in Afghanistan are at a 19-year low. Likewise, Iraq and Syria are also at the lowest point in many years. President Trump says he will always be committed to stopping endless wars. It has been a great honor to rebuild our military and support our brave men and women in uniform. There's been $2.5 trillion invested, including in beautiful new equipment all made in the USA.
God bless him. Let's go to Jake here. Hello, Charlie. I'm a junior in high school. I kind of just started getting into political science, and I find it a little demoralizing. Is there anything conservatives can look for hope?
Hmm.
What can I hold on to that Americans – oh, my goodness, this is so sad. What can I hold on to in America that won't be destroyed in 10 or 20 years?
Wow.
Well, hold on to your faith. That will not be destroyed. So I don't know if you're a believer or not, but I encourage you just to get your Bible. That will withstand whatever the left throws at you. No matter what they throw at you, that will not go away. That will always be true, and it will predate you, and it will be there beyond whatever you do. In addition to that, just build something new. That's the big thing I tell people. Start a company, start an organization, start a movement. It's going to get tough for us conservatives. Tough on social media, tough culturally, tough all this. So now it's time for us to rise up and organize and build. And to create new and to be able to find problems that are out there and come up with solutions for them. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Here's a question here. Here is, hi, Charlie. Can Trump lock everyone up and still be prez? People are talking about this. No, that's not going to happen. So that's a rumor that keeps on getting emailed to me. And so that's not happening. Okay, so here's one here. Hello, my name is Shandy. I love your show, and I'm truly thankful to that people can rely on you for real news. My name is, why are the Democrats so adamant to impeach Trump for, quote, inciting violence when they themselves was actually doing that last year? Thanks so much, and God bless. Well, truth is not a left-wing value, as Dennis Prager would say, and they have no concern whatsoever into impeaching President Trump for stuff they themselves have actually done. They don't care about it. They just say, look how terrible this was. It must be Donald Trump's fault. Therefore, you know, we are going to take this political opportunity to try and punish him.
Well, so, and truthfully, the left looks at the exact same actions with two sets of circumstances very, very differently. They say the circumstantial reason for why an action took place is the reason why it did, and that's right. What should be focused on, not anything that actually occurred.
And if you look at how the media treated the Molotov cocktail throwing lawyers that tried to kill police officers, they wrote them up beautifully. They had this long piece, I think, in New York Magazine about how it happened to them. They didn't actually do it. They were victims. They got caught up in it, which, of course, is not excuses that we're making here for any of the people that were trying to harm police officers. Could you imagine if we were trying to justify anyone that was throwing Molotov cocktails last week? Instead, that is what a lot of people did and have done and in their justification of what happened over the summer. Thank you guys for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Kenneth for supporting us. Looks like from Wisconsin, near the Wisconsin Dells. Thank you for that. You can continue to email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Take out your podcast provider. Type in Charlie Kirk Show. Hit subscribe. Screenshot and email it to us, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. We'll be back very soon. I'm going to give away some more books. All you have to do is show that you're subscribed and email it to us. We'll be back. Thank you guys so much.